Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us today. It's game day for Indiana. They are playing for a spot in the Final Four of the NIT in New York City. I would think that that's a big deal for those players to get not a vacation, but a trip to New York City and the opportunity to play in historic Madison Square Garden. So tonight's game against Wichita State at Indiana. Hoosiers, I think, favored slightly in this one, but much tougher opponent, I think, than what Indiana has seen so far in this NIT tournament. Now, I think Arkansas would be on the same level, except Eifert, their best player, is not playing and is declared for the NBA draft. So made them a little different when they came to Assembly Hall on Saturday. But this Wichita State team, it's very clear that they are playing great basketball and have been to close the season and now into the NCAA tournament, playing with a little pride, it looks like, and getting some wins multiple in a row. And their record over the last month or so of the season, tremendous. And they clearly are a team that missed the NCAA tournament, but had they played, I don't want to say halfway, but more like they've played the close of the year than in the middle part or at the start, they would probably be in the NCAA tournament or maybe eliminated by now, but definitely one of the teams in the field of 68. So I say all that because I do think tonight for this Indiana team could be a very tough game. I was looking at some of the matchups. Juwan Morgan looks like the McDuffie kid, Marquise McDuffie, a senior. That could be a very good matchup in the post. They definitely look like a team that's got some tournament experience and that is a formidable club, no question about it. And again, what they are playing like the last few weeks of the season, much different than what a lot of their season earlier on looked like. So kudos for them for turning it around, but it should mean a tough matchup with the winner going to New York City tonight. The game, of course, a quarterfinal matchup in the National Invitational Tournament. Wichita State's a 6 seed, Indiana's a 1 seed, and here's what I was looking for. They are 13-3, Wichita State is, over their last 16 games. And again, they had a 63-55 win at Clemson in a second-round game on Sunday. Tonight's game is a 7 o'clock tip-off. Pre-game coverage on the IU Network begins at 6 o'clock. Make sure you tune in. Don Fisher will have the full play-by-play story of the game. And then, of course, when the game comes to a close and the IU Network coverage wraps up, we'll immediately go to Assembly Call and the Assembly Call IU post-game show for lots of feedback and discussion and recap of what happens, win, lose, or draw for this Indiana team. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at a number of headlines out there in the world of basketball and Southern Indiana sports today, presented by Hoopster. Segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. He's always with us on Tuesdays. Never quite know exactly where the segment with Greg is going to go, and it's presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk some IU basketball in advance of the Wichita State game tonight. Little Romeo Langford. Greg had a column that drew some feedback, to say the least, about Romeo sometime later last week. And we'll talk about a couple other basketball NCAA tournament topics as well with Greg when he's with us. Later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is scheduled to be with us. We'll really break down the Wichita State team, some of the matchups tonight you can expect if Indiana's going to be victorious and head to New York City for a game or two in the NIT Final Four. What do they have to do to win tonight? this is, no matter what happens, obviously the last game that will be played at Assembly Hall for this 2018-19 college basketball season. And Peaks will be with me to kind of recap, or I shouldn't say recap, but preview everything as we get ready for this quarterfinal game tonight. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Number of things to get to. IU spokesperson telling Mike Miller of the Bloomington Herald Times that Langford Romeo continues to rehab his back. He's improving, was the statement made. Still no determination on his availability for the Wichita State game. So it sounds like whatever is going on with Romeo's back, with some rest, with some rehab, it is getting better. But is it good enough? Is it better enough for him to play tonight against this Wichita State team? So maybe it'll be something that we find out in the pregame show at 6 o'clock with Archie Miller talking with Don Fisher here on the Big X. Maybe it's something that we don't find out for sure until the IU team comes out for its official warm-up period before the Wichita State game. But we'll see what Romeo Langford does tonight. Does he play? Does he rest if Indiana wins? And another week, because Indiana does not, they don't play again later this week. If they win, they don't play until Tuesday, April 2nd, which is exactly a week from today. So what, another week, if he's getting better, improving, was the statement, was the quote, would he be available for that game? Maybe if we want to see Romeo in more college basketball this season, it's going to have to be Indiana winning tonight and making the semifinal round of the NIT. Also, yesterday I spent some time talking with our guest Zach Osterman about Devontae Green and how he really has stepped his game up. IU put out some stats on him in the last five games. 16.5 points is what Devontae Green has been doing for this team. 4.2 rebounds per game, 4.0 assists per game. He's been shooting 54.5% from three. He's had 18 threes in the last five games for this Indiana team. That's a different Devontae Green in many, many ways, not just in statistics, but in, I don't want to say attitude either, but just in maybe in leadership and in sharing the ball and being more of a team player. That was kind of a criticism of him early on. He's doing a lot of those things, and as he does that, his statistics are improving. His contributions to the team are improving as well. So we'll see if Devontae Green, with Romeo or without Romeo, can continue to be a big part of the NIT success of this team tonight when they take on Wichita State. A couple high school notes to pass along as we wrap up our Hoosier Headlines segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Top 60 workout for the top 60 high school basketball players in the state of Indiana takes place on Sunday at Marion University in Indianapolis, and three players from our local area with invites. One is obviously a no-brainer, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, expected to make the All-Star team to represent Indiana. He will headline these trio of players at the Top 60 workout this weekend, but also Zane Gross of Silver Creek, who just completed a great high school basketball career for the Dragons and obviously stepped up each and every step of the state tournament for his Silver Creek team. He's been invited to the Top 60 workout. Also, Derek Stevenson of New Albany getting an invite. Of course, Derek will be remembered for that big shot on Friday night in the sectional against Floyd Central, and he'll get an opportunity to play with the top 60 players in the state. They split it up into a couple sessions, and college coaches, small-level coaches, are allowed to come. It's not an open period for Division I coaches. And, of course, a lot of seniors at this point already are committed or have made their mind up about what's next for them with education and or basketball. But it's a chance for some guys like Stevenson to maybe get seen by some junior colleges and some small-level schools that will be in attendance that maybe can't fill their rosters as early in the year as maybe other schools, D1, D2, even D3 schools at times. So a good opportunity for those guys. Also, it's really the unofficial tryout, you could say, for the Indiana All-Star team. A lot of that's probably been long decided. There's voting that goes on as well, but the All-Star coaches are there, and they have an opportunity to fill some spots to help develop the team as a whole, needs that they think they might have. And so that top 60 workout, it seems every year somebody plays themselves onto the All-Star team at that event. So Grove Stevenson and, of course, Kobe Barnes all will be at that Top 60 workout presented by Hoosier Basketball Magazine this Sunday in Marion. Good luck to all of those local schools. Also, a big high school note today, basketball note. I know we're a couple days removed from the state championship, and of course Silver Creek, a winner in Class 3A, and lots of celebrations about that going on. But good news for Silver Creek on Monday afternoon. It came out just as we concluded our show that the Dragons have been invited to attend the 2019 Hall of Fame Classic at Newcastle, which is a four-team event over the Christmas break holiday. Silver Creek will take on Heritage Hills, and that's a really intriguing matchup. I thought to myself when the pairings came out, that very likely could be a regional-level matchup for the Dragons next season. Heritage Hills is very good. They return a lot of their players. They got clipped by Evansville Ballsy in the sectional round, maybe a Friday night game, I think, a semifinal. I don't remember exactly. But nonetheless, a very talented team was sitting at home and not competing in that regional when Heritage Hills got beat. They'll be really good, if not better, next season. They've got some college prospects on that team, including at least one or two Division I guys, and that will really be a good game, a good Christmas time, mid-year type game for the Dragons, who are going to be very good again next year. But big opportunity after a state championship to go right into the Hall of Fame Classic in December at Newcastle, and that is what they will do. Also in that event will be Lawrence Central and Mishawaka Marion, some other really good players on both of those teams as well. That will be a great day of basketball. Hard to believe that high school baseball and softball and other spring sports are now underway. Of course, we'll be doing some high school baseball games later this season. We always look forward to getting out to a lot of the big rivalry games, and some of them get underway pretty quick. New Albany playing here last night down in Nashville, Tennessee, in that area for a couple early season games. New Albany lost 7-6 to Lipscomb last night. It was a shortened game because of darkness, just a six-inning game, and New Albany comes up a little short in that one. The Bulldogs will stay back in Tennessee and play another one today. Lots of teams coming in from other parts to play here in southern Indiana as well, and I think some home games later in the week for some of our local schools also. But the spring sports season, it's underway, and it's not just starting. It's well underway for some of these teams with playing multiple games, and this week will be big to really get the season underway here in the spring with baseball and softball. Those are the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Greg Doyle is next, presented by Coffee Crossing, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, and if you listen to this show on Tuesdays, you know that Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, is with us every Tuesday on the show in this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. You can brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy their warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use the convenient drive-thru, and of course, coming later this month, the fourth Coffee Crossing location. Watch out for Coffee Crossing Sellersburg coming soon to Southern Indiana. Greg, IU continues on in the NIT tonight. They host, I think, what looks like a streaking hot red hot Wichita State team for the right to go to New York City for the Final Four tonight.
Yeah, Wichita State's one of those teams where that's dangerous because they play in a league that allows them to win a whole lot. If they're good, and they are good, and they win a whole lot, and they know what it takes to win. This IU team is learning and figuring it out, and has had stretches where they knew what it takes to win, but they've also had 15 stretches where they didn't. So this is more dangerous than Alabama, and not just because Gafford wasn't playing for Alabama, but you know there's a reason the Wichita States, the VCUs of the world make a run often in NCAA tournament, because those are teams that have won 30 games, or not whatever Wichita won this year, but they've won a lot of games in, over the last 2-3 years, and they know what they're doing when it comes time to win or go home.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Are you surprised with the troubles this Indiana team has had? I don't know if this is even a good question, but are you surprised they're still playing in the NIT? Did you think that, given how they've acted at times and the lack of care at times, that this would be one of those, every year you see it, NIT high seeds, a 1-2, a 3 that is dejected, they didn't get into the tournament, they come out in the first game, and it's over for them. They don't even try.
Well, in a vacuum, I'd say, yeah, I am surprised that this IU team is one game from the Final Four of the NIT. But we're not in a vacuum. We're in a situation where their first-round team opponent was St. Francis. And while teams like Wichita State and VCU's the world are dangerous because they've won a whole lot of games, those are mid-majors. Low majors, I mean, they're not completely harmless. But what I said about mid-majors does not apply to St. Francis. So you beat St. Francis at home because you're supposed to, even without Romeo. And then the Alabama game is toss-up because both teams have their best NBA prospect what on the court. Someone had to win. So I guess given that someone had to win, that means someone had to lose, and IU's figured out a way to lose a whole bunch this year. So, I mean, am I moderately surprised? Moderately. But given who they played, given the personnel on the court for both teams, and given the location, I can't say it's a shock they're where they are. And it won't be a shock if they're in New York City in a couple days. Will not be a shock. In fact, I suspect they'll be in New York City in a couple days.
Greg, I know every fan and every person probably judges the NIT different. I don't think it carries near maybe the prominence that it did a number of years ago. But if this Indiana team does go on to win tonight and make it to the Final Four of the NIT in New York City, whether they get beat in the semifinal next week or they win the championship, regardless whatever could happen in between those results as well, will you consider that a postseason success for this team, that they were able to continue finding themselves out, putting it together in the postseason, even though it wasn't the NIT tournament? Or are you like some fans and people that say, hey, it's the NIT, you know, it really doesn't matter. Maybe you got some extra games, good for you, for whatever reason you want to use those games, but I'm not sure that it's a big deal. Where does it fall on the Doyle meter, I guess is my question, if they get to that Final Four?
Matters a whole lot. Now, the NIT by itself doesn't matter a whole lot if you lose in the first game or second game. Did it matter? Didn't matter. But if you're one of the last four teams standing, you go to New York, you have that big game. Granted, it's not a huge game, but you have that big game because it'll feel like a big game when you're in New York City, and, I mean, it'll feel big. No one's getting fooled. It's not going to feel like the NCAA tournament. But still, you get there, you win three games, you win three elimination games to get to New York City. It's, as someone who's written some foolish stuff lately, I feel confident to say and qualified to say that's foolish to say this doesn't matter to get this team, especially as young as it is, for these young players to get these extra games. I mean, like all of a sudden spring football, does that matter more than the NIT? Because spring football, they're not playing anybody. But everybody says, look how valuable that is, extra practice and the spring game and yada, yada, gag me. These guys are playing real games in front of real people on real national television, and this matters.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. According to an IU spokesperson, at least as of yesterday afternoon, Romeo Langford is improving, but no determination, his back that is improving, but no determination on if he will be available for use at all tonight in the Wichita State game. Any thoughts on that? You know, again, his back has been something in the past that has bothered him. He missed some NIT games. Because of that, he had some issues in his high school career as well with that. But some people saying, you know, is he just trying to kindly sit out and not play because it's the NIT and because he has future plans to declare for the NBA draft? Or is there something serious enough? And that's how Archie Miller has sure painted the picture, that there's something serious enough where even if Indiana had been in the NCAA tournament, he wouldn't have played. Any thoughts on the overall situation with Romeo not playing in the NIT and his back injury?
Yeah, you know how in the Olympics when you judge figure skating, you throw out the highest and the lowest judge, and you take everybody in the middle? I'm throwing out Archie, and I'm throwing out the cynics that say who don't know, yeah, he's faking it, he's just trying to avoid the NIT in a nice way. I throw them out because they don't know, and that's the lowest common denominator. I'm not listening to that. But I'm not listening to Archie either, and I like Archie, okay? Everybody, you guys know I like Archie. But he's a head basketball coach who's trying to recruit the state of Indiana and beyond. And it does him no good at all to say anything other than Robbie Langford's lucky he's not in the intensive care unit. That back is so bad. I mean, what else is he going to say? Of course he's going to say that. So I'm throwing that out, too, as someone who's been lied to a lot. And, in fact, and I love Romeo. I love Romeo. But he lied to me, and I'm okay with it. I'm just telling you what happened. I'm okay with it. But he lied to me at Chicago. He walked off the court in Chicago in the middle of the game, went to the training room with Tim Garl. And afterwards, I got him alone, said, Romeo, what's going on with your back? Or, I'm sorry, he was holding his back. I said, Romeo, what's going on with your back? No, that wasn't my back. I was going to use the bathroom. My point here is not that he's a bad person. My point here is that's his health, and he wants to be private about it. God bless him. My point here is that people that are really, really vested, they don't have to tell the truth at all times. In society, sometimes we get offended by when we're lied to, and sometimes we ought to be. Sometimes we ought to be. But here's another example. If you're talking to an athletics director at a school, and there's still two games left in the football season, and you tell the AD, you ask the AD, hey, is your coach, is he safe? Is he gonna, you going to fire your coach? No, I give him a vote of confidence. I believe in him. Story comes out, vote of confidence, the coach is safe. 2 games later, he's fired. Were we lied to? Yeah, we were lied to, but what else is the guy supposed to say? Okay, sometimes they're supposed to lie. So anyway, I'm not saying Archie's lying. I'm just saying I'm throwing him out as the high judge. What I think is going on here is I think Romeo's got a legitimate back issue. It's not great, and I think that his future NBA potential is certainly a factor as they decide should you play or not. I think he's probably got to be pristine to play because otherwise, and as I would advise him as well, unless your back is pristine, you're not playing Romeo because you got bigger fish to fry someday. But if your back is pristine, you go play. That's where I think it is.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, very, very interesting. You caught a little flack from some people about the Romeo column last week, didn't you?
Yeah, it's my fault. it is my fault. I did. I didn't go there. I told you Tuesday morning two things. One is I might write about Romeo and advise him to come back. I didn't mean that night, but I told you that's something I think, and I think I might write someday. And then I told you I'm going tonight hoping Romeo plays and I can write what a great game he had. I'm going tonight hoping Devontae Green has another great game and I can write about that. I didn't go there to write what I wrote, but also I didn't go there knowing Romeo was going to show up in street clothes. Didn't know that was going to happen. And at that point, the only story that matters, beating St. Francis doesn't matter compared to Romeo. Langford's not playing. He has a bad back. Doesn't matter. So I'm clearly going to write about Romeo. I already had a thought, as I've told you guys ahead of time, that I think he should come back. The mistake I made, and it's a big one, and it's my fault, is when I tweeted my story out, and so people, and judging on analytics and whatever, this is how a lot of people got their first glance at that story, whether it was my tweet or a retweet of my tweet. What they saw, in my own words, was, I'm going to tell you guys what I told Tim Langford. Romeo ought to come back to school. Right away, if you can believe this, I'm admitting this out loud. I didn't realize it when I wrote it. I really didn't. It was a mistake, not a lie. That's not what happened. I'm telling you what I wrote is not what happened. But I just wasn't thinking clearly. You know, I'm driving back, and how can I word this tweet in a way that people will understand how important this is and what happened? And I actually talked to Romeo's dad about this. Well, here's how. What happened was I told him, after talking to him about Romeo's back, you know, how is he doing? What's going on here? And is he sitting out for the NBA? Is that why? And no, that's not why. And why are you here? And he told me. And then as I'm about to get up and leave, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You know what you're writing tonight. You know that you're writing, you're going to tell Romeo to come back. It's kind of gutless for you to be sitting next to his father and not tell him, here's what you're going to read tomorrow. So I told him, here's what you're going to read tomorrow. And if you ever talk to Tim, I hope he will back me up on this because that's what I said, is listen, I don't want you to not be blindsided by it. These are my words. I don't want you to be blindsided by this. I know you're going to hear about it. I'm writing right now that I think Romeo should come back. He'd benefit from another year of college because if he hasn't, and I told him, if he hasn't learned how to really, really become the man on this team, I'm not sure it's going to happen in an NBA locker room with all those grown men. Never once did I say, hey, Dad, raise your son this way. I just told him, here's my opinion. I realized talking to Romeo's dad, the lines are blurred. I realized, and I bet you, I tell you what, if I was Romeo's dad, if that was me sitting there and someone told me they were writing that column, I would take that as, you're telling me how to raise my son, aren't you? That's how I take it. It's not how I meant it, but believe me, I understand him taking it that way. And the fact that if he did, I have no idea. But the fact that I tweeted it out the way I tweeted it out, people were prepared to read that story angrily. And they did, and I got nobody to blame but myself.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I knew that you'd get some. When I read it, I saw it. I saw that exact tweet. I think just as you had tweeted it, I was scrolling through my phone that evening or that night and read it. And I thought I had a feeling, or I knew what. I guess based on our conversation on the show that day, And based on the fact that Romeo didn't play, I figured that that very likely could be the subject of what you may write about from the game, given it was also a blowout, easy win for IU. But when I read that tweet and I read the column, I thought our friend Greg is going to get some backlash over that. But for somebody that was, I don't want to say critical of anything, but I reminded a few people who text me and who said, hey, you need to say this to Greg Doyle, or you need to text this to Greg Doyle. You talk to him, that you, over the years, have probably been one of the media people on a state or national level that has supported and championed Romeo, and even in high school to help build his reputation and legacy when he still was a Southern Indiana type player that maybe others had just heard about but hadn't seen. You were kind of that guy that championed. So I was quick to remind people of that as well.
Yeah, that was not a hit piece by any stretch of the imagination. And when I write a hit piece, ask Josh McDaniels how that feels. That was not a hit piece. That was, I had an opinion. If people want to disagree with the opinion, I'm okay with that. I just don't like, and again, it's my fault, that people are probably most upset about something that didn't happen. But it's, you know, it's my fault. It looks that way. But yeah, I want, as I wrote, and it's a little bit silly because I realize nobody wants Romeo to succeed more than Romeo and his own parents. I mean, nobody wants it more than them. Believe me, I get it. I also get that when you're really close to a situation, sometimes you might not, and I'm not saying I'm right, but sometimes you might not even have considered some other points of view. I was just, as I wrote, I didn't tell him, Romeo, come back. What I wrote was, Romeo needs to strongly consider coming back, because I'm convinced that he's not even thinking about it. I'm convinced he's gone and hadn't even thought twice about being gone, and more power to him, but I want him to be great in the NBA, selfishly. Because as you said, and you're right, and I'm about to get emotional, but I have championed that kid, and it wasn't hard. It took no great heroic efforts to champion Romeo Langford. Believe me, it was my pleasure and my honor, but I did. And selfishly, probably, because I'm invested in him being great. I want him to be great. I want him to be great for him. I want him to be great for me, so I can tell my kids I saw him in high school. I want that, and I'm not sure it's going to happen if he turns pro right now, but if he turns pro right now, there's nobody in this world outside of Romeo and Tim that want me to be more wrong than me.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament before we close this segment out. Purdue is in the Sweet 16, and, of course, just some amazing moments. I know that maybe the tournament got off to a slow start that first day with not as many upsets, or really I don't think any major upsets at all that first day, if my memory serves me correctly. But, boy, we had some great games throughout the weekend. I thought Duke was out. I thought they were going to be eliminated, the first one seed done. They found a way somehow to win. I know there's been a lot of controversy over some plays late in that game as well. But I'm curious your general thoughts on the tournament so far and on Purdue in the Sweet 16 and what you think their chances are to maybe move forward against a good Tennessee team.
It's the chalkiest tournament we've seen in a long, long time. I know that for sure. I mean, all 8 ones and twos are in. I think 14 of 16 of the top seeds are still in. I mean, I'm not sure when that last time that's happened. I watched the Duke game with everybody else on TV. I watched the last few minutes of it when I traveled home that day from the Purdue game. I didn't know this was going to happen, but when Aubrey Dawkins tap-in rolled out, I screamed out loud in anger. And that's not what I do. I don't watch games that way. I don't root that. I was surprised I cared that much that I wanted Duke to lose, but I did because, I mean, we're watching history, right? We want to see history. And at the same time, I want to see Zion Williamson. So I guess you win-win with that deal, but Duke got real lucky, and Zion Williamson probably had an offensive foul on that, you know, the 4-point possession, the previous one. He probably charged before he got fouled by foul, and we'll never know. But and then as for Purdue, you know, it's and I'm going to probably write something like this tomorrow, but I think we'll see. It's the run that you don't see coming is the one that really you remember, I think, the most. And this Purdue team, yeah, they were a 3 seed, but this season wasn't supposed to go this way. It just wasn't supposed to be this good. And I'm not sure they're supposed to be Villanova, but Carson Edwards scored 42, and you're going to beat a whole lot of teams when Carson goes off like that. So this is a remarkable run by Purdue we're watching. And again, in a vacuum, as I like to say, if you're a number 3 seed, you're supposed to be in the Sweet 16. That's chalk. There's nothing remarkable about that. I take us all back to November when we all wondered how in the hell they were placing those 4 seniors because they didn't bring any freshmen in that we think is all that good. I mean, not bad freshmen, but there's not a single freshman they brought in that we thought was great, and you look at who they're getting contributions from, and none of the freshmen, while they're getting their 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th men are all freshmen, none of those people are averaging double figures. This run is—it's not supposed to happen, but it has happened. It is happening, and I think they're going to beat Tennessee. Now, listen—it's all Carson. If Carson goes 3 for 17, they're not beating Tennessee. But Carson thinks he's back. He was back the other day. I think if he has another game where he's around 30, I mean, he can't—they can't win if he scores 20. I bet, but he can score 30. If he does that again, I think they're going to win.
Let me ask you, how are your picks, and who are your picks? I don't think I asked you that before the tournament began last week.
Oh, they're crap. They're crap every year. And this is the first year I really didn't fill out a bracket very much. The Star printed the bracket the morning, Monday morning it came out, and I filled it out real quick. I even took a picture of it and put it on Twitter, and wrote the words "Behold" or something. But I don't even. I think I had 3 ones and a two, and the 3 ones were whoever's not in Kentucky's bracket, because I had Kentucky's the two, and then I had 3 ones in the final four. So I mean, it's. But my bracket sucks. I've won a bracket challenge in my life. I've made some money one time. My dad was teaching law school at Ole Miss, and it was him and the professors and a bunch of students. There was a couple hundred people in there, and I finished second. And I'm not bragging, because I'm telling you I was 7 years old and had no idea what I was doing. And that's how you win brackets. It's the people that don't know what they're doing are the ones that do well, because if you know what you're doing, you don't pick some of the games that happen the way they happen.
Absolutely.
If you know what you're doing, there's no way UCF even comes close to beating Duke. But, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. Hey, before we let you go, I want to run this by you, and you can take this where you may. I think most of your background since you've been with the Star when it comes to Southern Indiana probably was with the Romeo deal. You covered it so well. You were around a lot when he was coming up through. But on Saturday evening, another Southern Indiana team from our immediate area won a state championship. That was Silver Creek. They won the 3A title against the favorite with some really good talent, Culver Academies. And I bring this up because I'm sure you weren't there. I'm assuming you were at the NCAA or somewhere. But you correct. You weren't at the state finals, were you? I don't think.
No, I was at Purdue played that night. I was at Purdue.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. But I bring it up because Silver Creek has a crowd. Some people tell me it was approximately 5,000 people there. We see that the attendance numbers overall down a little bit, it looks like, for this year's state finals. But the fanfare, the community support, the lines along the streets to wish the team well when they left and to greet them when they arrived back in town as state champions. You just don't see these type of pictures and memories. And I know I'm here and you're there, but you just don't see these type of pictures and memories popping up on social media feeds from other communities that win. I know everybody does neat stuff and everybody celebrates their school and their kids. For sure, it's Indiana and basketball specifically. That's hopefully always happens, but just something special about Southern Indiana, fans from Southern Indiana schools and the communities and the way they support together from some of the smaller communities in our state. And I'm curious, with your time here with New Albany and Romeo, you always hit the state finals when you can, and some of the other high school storylines around the state each year that you write about, your views maybe on what makes Southern Indiana difference, or what you've experienced when you've seen a team play in this area or come down to this area for a column.
Well, there's only one city that I've seen in my 5 years here that compares to what you just described, and it was Connersville. They treat basketball very seriously, too. When Connersville plays a big game, Connersville shuts down. If you want to rob somebody in Connersville, pick a night they're playing a big game, because the town's empty. They're all gone somewhere else. So so that was two, apparently. There's Silver Creek's the other one. And I'm not surprised. Listen, the Romeo reaction that he generated wasn't just because he's great. It was because that community, as you're describing, There's a sense of community there that overrides almost everything else, and so people came out to support him and that team too, Sean East and all those guys. So I'm not surprised what you're describing happened with another program, because I never thought Southern Indiana what I saw was Romeo generated. I thought it was the whole deal and the whole community. And one more thing about all this is I knew that game was happening, and I was a little bit uncomfortable that Culver's Academy might win, not knowing anything, but. And this might tick off people around that school, but I'm not sure they're listening, and who cares anyway. But I think public schools, and certainly public schools that aren't boarding schools. I assume Culver Academy is a boarding school. I want our small towns to win these games. I don't want boarding schools. I'm glad that Keon Brooks, wherever it is he's playing, that La Lumiere. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they can't play for the state title, because they don't belong. And I'm not saying Culver's done, and I really don't know their background, but I'm happy that it was a public school from our state that won, and not what I think is a boarding school military academy, which is, you know, nonsense.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, as always, thank you. We covered a lot of ground. Are you going to IU tonight?
I am not. I'm waking up early tomorrow morning and going to Purdue in Louisville.
Gotcha. We may see you there. Thank you, Greg.
Yes, sir. Hope so.
All right. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always with us Tuesdays. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy their warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use the convenient drive-through. And again, Greg Doyle with us of the Indianapolis Star with some great viewpoints every Tuesday here on the program. We'll head to a break. When we come back, more on IU Wichita State, some of the matchups, a little bit more in detail about this Wichita State team and what makes them a very formidable opponent for Indiana tonight with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We're going to talk IU basketball, of course, and take a real preview into tonight's IU-Wichita State game. It's a 7 o'clock tip, which means pregame coverage here on the Big X at 6 o'clock. And, of course, we'll be around for some postgame stuff as well. Mike, thanks for being with us today. Is it fair to say, and do you agree with this, that Wichita State, I believe, on paper, matchup-wise, the toughest opponent that IU has seen or will have seen so far in this NIT tournament?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, they had only a six seed, but, you know, they've won most, you know, 8 of 9 and 13 and 3 over the last 16. You know what they've done as a program for a while, and that helps them to recruit well. They just had a little bit of a transition from a veteran team of a year ago, and they lost a guy to the NBA, Landry Shamet, and the young guy started to play Wichita State kind of defense late, and they got tougher on the road. And, you know, it's impressive what they've done. They've gone, you know, won at Clemson, you know, beat a good Furman team on the road before that. You know, it's a big team. You know, it's not a small team like Indiana faced with Arkansas being without Daniel Gafford. And, of course, St. Francis was not a very big team. So it's a much different kind of opponent tonight.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, talking IU and Wichita State to start things off. Wichita State is paced by a senior, a forward, a bigger player, Marquise McDuffie, 18.3 points per game. And reading some of the pregame material out there, it looks like he and Jawan Morgan may end up being a really good matchup for each other. Could be very interesting with that tonight.
Yeah. Whether you put Justin Smith on him or Jawan Morgan, I think you'll see a little bit of both. Because they do have a very good big man, Echenique, who checks in at 6'11", 258. So do you put Justin Smith on that guy? And he played really well in the win over Clemson. I think he led him with 18 points. So a little bit of mix and match. He's got to make sure Jawan does not get into foul trouble. But McDuffie is kind of a more of a 3-4-ish four. Doesn't a huge rebounder. Not only 218, but he is really skilled and has been by far their best player this year.
Mike, one of the things in this NIT tournament, of course, Indiana playing without Romeo Langford thus far, but one of the things that I have been impressed with, some at times together, other times maybe just one or two of them, but the backcourt play of Indiana generally has played really well in the NIT. Al Durham has had some big moments. It's really been a great month for him in general. Devontae Green, I'm talked about him some earlier in the show, averaging over 16 points a game in the last five games, doing well in some other statistical categories recently also. And Rob Phinisee, he appears to be back to maybe where he was before that concussion, and I think he was there, you know, at the end of the regular season as well. It's not like he's just stepped it up in the postseason. But those three guys, that backcourt contingency for Indiana, has had some big moments in the NIT, which with the future, I think, bright when you think about those three guys being back and some of the things that they've been able to do here in the last couple weeks of the postseason.
Yeah, Devontae Green is the story of the postseason for Indiana. You know, we were beginning to wonder about his future with his suspension and his up and down play, and he's been injured, but he really found his game late in the year, you know, and he had the huge game against Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament and just continued to play well. I think it's at least six or seven straight games now that he's been in double figures. He's been much more of a scorer, and he's let Robert Phinisee take the point guard role, and he just kind of blossomed. Indiana has had an issue with outside shooting. That's no secret, and he's kind of answered that for the most part in the offseason. And Robert's, you know, he started playing well at the end of the year. He just had a freshman-like first postseason game against Ohio State, you know, reverted back to, you know, not look like he's been there before. But other than that, he's played exceptionally well in March, and that's really a nice combo. And then now Durham it's been Mr. Steady as a rock all season, and then, you know, he's taken on more of scoring as you know, Romeo sat with the back injury, and so that's, you know, all three of those guys will be back next season, so that bodes well for the future.
Mike, how big of a deal do you think it is for these players? And I've got to believe if you're college age, if you're playing basketball, and you're playing for a program like Indiana with some support, no matter if it's the NIT or the NCAA, 12,000-plus fans at the last game, so you got to think being the final game at Assembly Hall that there'll be an even better crowd tonight. But with all that said, how important do you think it is for these players to win this NIT, to make it to New York City, to get the opportunity to play in Madison Square Garden, even though there's a lot of disappointment still, I'm sure, with the NCAA tournament and not getting in?
Well, I think it's important for the younger guys, Robert Phinisee, Al Durham, you know, never played in tournament atmospheres, never played in NCAA. That's, you know, it's not the NCAA, but it is going to be like that and has been a little bit like that, especially if they go to New York. That'll be, you know, a neutral type atmosphere with all, you know, season on the line. That'll help them, I think, if they have to play in the NCAA next season. So that's the biggest benefit, I guess. I mean, you know, younger guys like, you know, Justin Smith and Race Thompson and those guys will, I think, benefit from it just in the same vein, just to be able to play in that. And I think the biggest benefit to me is just playing more games and learning more about your personnel. I mean, Devontae's played so well, so maybe you don't need to have to reach for a grad transfer shooting guard because you're not confident that Devontae can fill that role. So I think just playing gives you some answers about your guys and as well as that experience factor.
I mean, any opportunity to extend the season, obviously fans and coaches, everybody associated, wants it to be the highest level, the NCAA tournament, to get in the field of 68 that matters so much in our country. But any opportunity to extend the season and, most importantly, really to get those additional practices together, I've got to believe that there's a lot of benefit for that for the future, no matter, you know, who's back, who's not, who graduates, who may leave early for the NBA, potential transfers, you just never know. But I've got to believe generally that extending the season, the practices, and the games is a good thing, no matter what the level.
Yes, it is, especially for an Indiana team that didn't have their roster intact for a while because of injuries and get their footing going. You know, you just when you work out by yourself or with the 2-on-2 situations and support, you just don't play real defense. You don't have help defense. You don't have 5-on-5 action where everybody's you know, playing under an organized system. So you just can't beat a real season kind of game.
I asked Greg Doyle this in the last season, or I should say we talked about it some in the last segment. I want to talk about it with you, see what you've heard, what you think. Romeo Langford, as of yesterday afternoon, the word was he's improving, but still no determination whether he would play tonight or in the future if Indiana continues to advance in the NIT. What are you hearing? What do you think about that subject?
It would surprise me if he plays tonight. I don't know about next week. I guess I'll handle that if there's a definite game next week. And I think that, you know, it's a little bit different next week in that they would have a full 7 days, you know, before they play again. This has been, you know, been some quick turnarounds in these games. I don't know. Back injury is nothing to mess with. And with what he has on the line, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to play him, I think, tonight. But, but if, with another week and playing in New York, you know, that might be a different result. But it would be a slight surprise to me if he played tonight.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Of course, Pegs.com, one of the longstanding places for great IU basketball, football information, and a lot more. I want to talk to you about some recruiting stuff here in this segment as well. And I want to start with a local player, Cooper Jacoby of Silver Creek. He's a sophomore. He had a terrific state championship game, really a terrific sophomore season, specifically in the state tournament for his Silver Creek team. Got a scholarship offer, Coach Hoffman told us yesterday on this program, from Indiana State. And the kind of the general thought, the people that I talk to say, well, that's probably the first of many from the mid-major level for him over the course of his high school career. And I think the question is, can he play beyond that? Could he be someone that works his way into an offer bigger than a mid-major school? You've seen Silver Creek, and you're familiar with not only Cooper, but Jacoby, but also Trey Kaufman. Your thoughts on early in his career, where he could project to be as far as a level of college basketball?
Yeah, Silver Creek was my adopted team this year. I saw him before, real early in the season. They came to Jennings County, where I, in my area here, and just loved that team. And was proven right by them winning it all. And heck, they might win it again the next two seasons, because they have Cooper Jacoby back for two more years, and they also have Trey Kaufman, who's also, I think, will definitely be a high major kid. Cooper's a little bit harder to call because he's not physically as strong as a lot of kids, and his length is not outstanding in terms of wingspan. But he really knows how to play. He can post up, he can shoot the jumper. He has terrific court sense, really tough-minded kid, can put the ball on the floor. His limitations are physical, and I don't know if he'll and that might keep him from high major. It might not, because who knows how much more he might grow and the strength factor that, you know, it's hard to say right now. But it is no surprise to me that he got the Indiana State offer, and I think he will get several more mid-major offers. We'll see, have to see on the high major front. But he'll be able to show himself. I think he's going to play in the Under Armour circuit, which will be viewed by a lot of high major coaches this spring.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Another recruiting question that I get, so I'm going to pass this along to you this time of year, is, okay, now that Keon Brooks is headed to Kentucky, he was the other big remaining target out there of the Hoosiers in the current class, the 2019 class. Where does IU turn next? And I know we've talked about a couple different names in addition to Keon here over the last few weeks. But who is out there? What could potentially be some names or some paths maybe that Indiana and the coaching staff take to fill any remaining spots? And really, how many spots could you see this team filling in the 2019 class in addition to the players already signed? And I know this is a much tougher question now than what it maybe was a number of years ago, because transfers and graduate transfers, and there's so much movement in rosters that there never used to be in college basketball. But your thoughts on this 2019 class and what could happen spot-wise and who it could be to finish out the class?
Yeah, I think they'll probably add a couple more players. They had two seniors on scholarship, Evan Fitzner and Juwan Morgans. You have those two scholarships. You had two signees in Armand Franklin and Trace. And you have a likelihood that Romeo is leaving for the NBA, so that's one scholarship. And I think the odds are that they'll have at least one transfer, though. I'm assuming that they'll take advantage of that and grab two more players if they like two more players, and that player has obviously got to commit to them. Grad transfer is you know, there's a lot of guys that have already out in the market, even though it's still March, you know, 25th or whatever today is, 26th, and you know, there's some names up there I can't really get into yet, but I think there might be on the market coming that are real possibilities. And I also think that Indiana still is has a chance with Trendon Wofford, a five-star brother of Christian Wofford, because some things have gone on in his recruitment. A lot of people thought he'd go to Alabama, and they just got rid of Avery Johnson as their head coach. And LSU was involved, and their head coach is in hot water, can't even coach in the tournament because of that. So that situation has changed in the last few weeks, and therefore I think his family or Trendon might be more open to Indiana, especially since it's a known commodity and that everything worked out well for his older brother. So that's just a few things, and they did take a look at a senior from Ohio that played in the state tournament this past weekend, who's had an exceptionally good year after being out with an injury for a while and being off the radar. There are some guys that will be available because of coaching changes. I think that will pop up on our front page over time.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, always with us Tuesdays to cover a lot of ground on subjects related to IU basketball. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you next Tuesday. And I would say, knowing you and the way you guys do things, if Indiana's playing next Tuesday, there's a likelihood our conversation could originate with you being in New York City.
Actually, Jeff will go.
Okay.
But we will be there. We will have somebody there, which I don't think a lot of people will be able to say that, given the uncertainty of the happening. But we'll be out there.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Again, we're back with you Wednesday. Jeff Rabjohns is with us tomorrow. Also, Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune Sports. And I'll talk with you then right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.